Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Hey guys, it's Joanna. So what you're about to listen to is an episode that Jenny and I recorded many, many months ago. As you know, we took a very long hiatus, a hiatus that was a bit longer than what we had anticipated. But during that time, we were still recording episodes. We just couldn't publish them because of, you know, the contracts and the lawyers and the this and the that. So anyway, we decided we wanted to publish one of those episodes that we recorded in person right when I moved to LA in February 2023. So keep in mind that maybe some of the things we say might be a little bit dated, but otherwise it's a conversation between two friends that are seeing each other in person for like the fifth time ever after talking for hours and hours and hours on end together. So I hope you guys enjoy it. Hi, everybody. I'm Joanna.
And I'm Jenny.
And this is Hyphenated, the podcast about living in the hyphen. And we're back. In person.
Oh my God.
I feel like this is going to be a bit of an adjustment. Like, I'm seeing your face and you're like a actual human being and not this image on my computer.
I know.
The first thing I told Jenny when she got out of her car was, you're so little.
I started jumping up and down. Like,
yeah. I was like, look at me. Like a tiny little toddler coming out of her enormous car. I think that, like, you know, I got a lot of tweets and messages on Instagram asking, like, where's the podcast? Are you guys coming back? I felt like a father that said he was going to go get cigarettes at the corner store and never, like, came back. I felt kind of like that, but we are back. Mm-hmm. We took a little longer than expected because I had to uproot my entire life and move cross country.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Oh my God. The last month in New York, I was in a deep, like, depression.
Because I've been there and I'm like, and I saw your stories with you and your family and like your goodbye dinners. I'm like, those were the worst.
It's like breaking up with someone and having them still live in your house. That's what it felt like. I'm like, I'm breaking up with New York temporarily. We're taking a break. And I'm still here. And everything reminds me of how great this city is and how much I love it here and how my family's here. And I think I took this for granted. It's like feeling at home in some place is feeling like life is easy. Mm-hmm. Like just, I know where the nearest Trader Joe is. I know all the subways. I know exactly how to get from point A to point B. I know all of these. And then landing here, I'm like, I don't understand what the fuck a freeway is.
Like, ooh, that's going to be tricky because some of them just show up out of nowhere.
I don't understand. Like, I've been driving. I got a car. I've been driving.
Oh, my God.
I've never owned my own car in my life because I've lived in New York,
that's
of course.
True. Oh, my gosh. What an adjustment.
I had a car in college. Her name was Roberta. She was a 1998
dope.
Infiniti, I think. Mm. But that's been my experience with cars. And now here, I'm like, this is my life now.
I'm to drive everywhere, yes.
It's been 2 weeks and it's getting better every day is what I will say.
Is it?
I think so. I think, you know, I think for people like us, I left my home in Venezuela and that was a mourning period for me. And then I readjusted to life in Boston and then I had to leave and that was a mourning period.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. And then I'm like, I'm never leaving. I so sillily, I don't think that's a word.
Sillily.
I so.
I love it.
Is that a word?
No, but.
Okay.
It
let's
is
just,
now.
You know what? Add it to the Webster dictionary.
Sure.
I sillily thought that I was never going to leave New York. So
I made this big proclamation in my life. I'm like, I'm not moving anymore. I'm going to stay here. This is my home. Mm-hmm. I'm a New Yorker now. Mm-hmm. And then that lasted 11 years. And
it's pretty long time.
And now I'm here and I feel like I'm starting from scratch. Like, I'm like, really, I got to do this again. But, you know, I think your family as well. My family, I think if I had to describe my family in one word, I'd say immigrant. Mm-hmm. Because there's not like there's not two generations that have stayed anywhere, really. They've sort of kept moving and uprooting and recreating. And so yeah. I'm like my ancestors that mm-hmm. got on a boat and had to restart, except I took JetBlue.
Yeah. And you didn't have to, what is it, caulk a wagon or, okay. Well, I didn't
play. Is that an Oregon Trail?
Yes, it is.
Reference?
Yes. You didn't have to like take bison across the great gold rush.
You know, I said this recently. I was like, it was just quiet in the office. And then I was like, you know, guys, without the advent of modern medicine, I would have been dead like 17 times by now. And people were like, where did that comment come from? But it's all been in my head, like how modern this immigrant experience is.
Oh yeah.
It's a modern immigrant experience. I still connect. I WhatsApp with my family all day, every day.
Yeah.
It felt worse. You know what it felt like? It felt like, have you ever gone skydiving? I feel like you have.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. I feel like, anyway, I have. I was going to say, I can't imagine you skydiving.
No.
No, absolutely not. I just imagined
not
you.
Touching it, no.
No, absolutely not. No. I went skydiving because I was stupid when I was 22.
You're adventurous.
I was not, actually. Oh. I couldn't sleep for 2 weeks before. It was so not worth it. I don't recommend skydiving unless you are a masochist. It's terrible.
Well, okay. Well, thank you. Now I know.
Don't do it. Two weeks of misery for like 2 seconds of terror and then 3 minutes of relief. And that's it. That's what skydiving is. Mm-hmm. But being on the 2 weeks before and being on the plane is the worst part of skydiving.
Yeah.
It's horrifying. It's horrifying. And I felt like that was my life before the move.
Yes.
Was being on a rickety old plane before I jumped out of it. And jumping out of it isn't so bad, actually. Yeah. Actually, the actual jumping out of the plane, not bad. The time before?
I understand. Because that's how I feel before like a ride.
Oh, like a roller coaster. Like
a roller coaster or something. And it's like, I'm just, or even before going live on stage.
Mm.
Because I do have stage fright and I,
me too.
It's wild to admit, but because I do it anyway, but it's that horrific feeling. Like your body goes into fight or flight mode. It thinks something terrible is going to happen. Like I'm going to get attacked by a bear. And I'm like, dude, just chill. You're just going on stage. Like nothing's going to happen. And then once you're on stage, it's not so bad.
Exactly. It's the same exact thing.
It's the what leads up to it.
Yeah. I think lead up, and I was talking to my therapist, I'm like, I'm very bad at lead up. Like if someone would have told me, you could have just packed up your bags when you decided to
just
move
go.
It and, like, and
in
left,
that moment, like, yeah.
So much better.
Rip it like a Band-Aid.
I hate nostalgia.
Yes.
I hate like feeling like a chapter is closing. I just want to close it.
We remember all the times we...
Did we sing this before on the podcast?
Yeah, I think several times.
Great.
Several times.
We're really promoting vitamin C.
We really are. Where is she? Where is vitamin C?
I don't know, but probably healthy.
I...
She probably takes... I would hope if my name is vitamin C, that I'm taking my supplements.
I quite on. You got to stay on brand.
Like, what would it be weird if like you're vitamin C and like you get a blood test and then your doctor's like, you're deficient in vitamin C.
I'm 100% sure that probably happened to her in her life. Also, whatever. Anyway, deficient vitamin C deficiency. We're here to tell you take your vitamins every day.
Yeah, get some sun.
What for you? I'm honestly, my brain, I just don't feel like it's mine yet. Because I'm constantly learning new things. I feel like you know how they say like toddlers, they're like genius level brains because they're absorbing everything. I mean, genius level, that's a stretch because they're the dumbest things in the world. But they're like absorbing and learning new things a lot.
Yes.
And you as an adult, you learn at like a, you know, less high speed and less high level. Like you know what you know, and then you slowly start, it starts to decrease the amount of information you can store.
Yeah.
Like a Google Drive. And I've been learning so many new things. I've never been more boring. Like I've never had less wit because my brain's just overwhelmed with information.
Are you talking about because of the move?
Yeah, like, oh, what's the 405 and what's the 101?
I've been here 8 years and I still don't fucking know.
You don't know?
No.
You don't know?
No, absolutely not. I just follow what this machine tells me on my car, the gyps.
The japas.
The japas. And I just let it take me. And then I love it because people here will be like, oh, did you take the 101 or the boopy deep boop de boop? I'm like, I don't know. I just followed whatever the fuck the GPS told me to do.
I'm not even exaggerating. Every conversation I hear is about how to get from one place to another. It feels like I'm in a Jordan Peele movie because every time I enter a new place, someone's like, oh, I took Cahuenga. And I'm like, what are those words?
I know what they are. I know that I've driven through them, but I am not one to leave my house and go, I'm going to take the blah, blah, blah to the blah, 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 and then cross the blah, blah, blah. Again, the GPS calculates everything for me. It knows the traffic because of the satellites above the earth, and it knows where to take me. If I have to go through a mountain, I will go through a mountain.
I love that you're like, you're justifying the fact that you have no idea how the streets work here.
No, I have no direction sense. I didn't even know how the streets worked in Miami. I would get lost in the city I was born in, Hialeah.
Really?
Yes. I was like, what? Who invented this? This is terrible. And then you go around Coral Gables, and they think they're still conquered by the Spanish there because it's like, instead of regular street signs in Coral Gables, it's like on a stone on the ground, and it's not even lit. So when you're trying to find a house in Coral Gables at night, you have to be like,
wait,
Juan Ponce de Leon, like where, like you have to read these white stones on the ground. I'm like, get over yourselves. They think they're still in Spain or something. I don't know. I'm like, please.
I love this topic. And parenthesis, I think this should be the topic. It's things that are so bizarrely of a place that make no sense. Do you know what I mean? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely not.
So that is like, so that's something that is so iconically Miami. It's stone street names on the floor.
That's Coral Gables.
Oh, Coral Gables. Okay. Okay.
Hialeah just made no sense. Mm-hmm. Like the street signs would make no sense. I was just like, forget it. I gave up.
Right. Well, the other day I was in the office and I tell Dan, I'm like, oh, nothing in this city like is user friendly. Why is the elevator here and the stairs? And he's like, New York is really confusing to me. And I'm like, what are you talking about? New York is so easy. And he's like, no, like your subways are, it's like looking at it like a hidden treasure map that's been shat on. Like, it's just so difficult to look at and I'm like, I think it's easy, but it isn't. And fun fact about New York, like a lot of the New York transit system doesn't make any sense. Like we'll have on the west side, we'll have a lot more trains than on the east side. And it's because the subway was actually privately owned. Like someone was like, I'm going to open up a train line on Broadway. And someone else was like, well, I'm going to open up a train line two blocks east of that. So the West, because it was privatized, the West of Manhattan has way more subways than on the East. The East is a lot less connected. And I didn't even realize how bizarre that was until someone told it to me. Like, you don't know how bizarre your environment is until someone outside of it is like, this is ridiculous. It's weird.
Yeah. I definitely was overwhelmed when I went to New York.
It's a lot. And it's very not user-friendly. You just, the learning curve was so high many years ago, and now I took it for granted.
Yeah.
I took it for granted.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in LA, debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Here, I'd say it's very bizarre, that everything's in a strip mall. There's no, every nice building is built by a Scientology, and Scientology is everywhere. Scientology owns, I'd say, maybe 40% of Los Angeles. And I don't understand this, and that's normal? Like, you guys are like, yeah, there's a cult that just owns my city.
Yeah.
What? And oh, and I found out they host a brunch there every Sunday for that's let's open go. To the people.
Let's go.
So there's just like a functioning
let's do
cult.
A podcast there.
Let's take and our
then,
equipment.
Then to people the cult. Will never hear of us again.
Ever.
Ever. I talk about it all the time. It's really fascinating. I actually went to a show recently at UCB in Franklin, and it's right across this like giant Scientology building. And I bumped into my friend Riza outside in the line, and she's like, oh, what are you guys doing here? And I'm like, oh yeah, you know, we're just here for like a dinner at the Scientology building. And for like a split second she believed us. I was like, Raisa, por favor, what would I be doing in the Scientology building?
Pero tú estás loca, chica.
Qué escándalo.
Qué escándalo.
Clearly, I was there to see my girls perform, but yeah, I was like, it's right across the damn street.
Oh. Okay, I want to, can I pull on my phone to research other weird things? Like, I've lived in Boston, and I want to see something weird about it. Like, weird.
Kevin's like, I grant you permission.
Weird Boston.
This is
weird.
Kevin in the background.
I don't know.
Fucking knock yourself out.
Fucking knock yourself out.
Look up Boston.
I lived there for many, many a year.
How long?
I lived there for 2 years when I was in middle school. And then 4 years in college, so 6 years total.
I visited a bunch there. I was just there in October.
I really like it. It's a cool city.
To me, it's more chill than New York. I was less overwhelmed.
It's a town.
In Boston than I was in New York City.
Well, they have a very like strict architectural conservatory.
Conservatory?
I shut down in the middle of that word. I shut down and had to reboot. Yeah, like the architecture there is like como very historical. Yeah. And there's this, I think it's conservation, this conservation
of yes.
arm of the government.
They've preserved all this
yeah.
history there.
So here's an interesting fact about Boston and my life there. My parents, they live in an apartment in an old building, right? And it was a rule in Boston that every roof needed to be copper because copper, I'm sorry, that's so stupid. Wait, because every roof in like, I don't know, the 1700s, like 1776 or whatever, were copper, okay? Which is, okay, so my parents had a copper roof, and copper is a metal.
Yes.
So in a lightning storm, 1 year, my parents' building was hit by lightning, caught on fire. The penthouse was burnt down.
Okay.
And they couldn't live there for several years. And when they were like rebuilding, they're like, hey, can we maybe not do copper? And they're like, no, you got to do copper.
Pero por qué? Who wrote that stupid rule?
But that's what I'm talking about. It's just this
bizarre.
Is it
an aesthetic? Is it just aesthetic?
It's aesthetics, but it's funny because you don't really see the roof.
No, you don't.
So it's for just the plain people.
I don't recall anything copper. Okay, the buildings are so tall.
Yeah, and also you're tiny, so you can never see up.
I'm literally just like, meh. Like, I don't, copper?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know why, though? Is there a reason for the copper?
I don't really know. I'm assuming it has something to do with.
It's because they want to keep it. Is that what it is? Like, they're like so hardcore about keeping things as is.
Because it's such a historical city. In contrast to LA, which I think is a city made of like paper mache, Boston is like a very historical city. I was going to say shitty. Please don't kill me, Boston people. It's a very historical city and it's very proud of its history. That's sort of like what it's known for, its history.
Well, a good thing Salem doesn't do that because then they
They be burning.
Still be burning witches.
They be burning.
Or just burning women who are good at math. That's all. Burning women who read a book.
Burning women who
read a book? That's witchcraft. Yes. Literally. We would have been burned at the stake immediately.
But I love this exercise in what makes something iconically that location.
Well, something fascinating about Miami is the Art Deco.
Oh my God, Art Deco. It, you know, it's so tacky. And yet I love it.
I mean, it's Miami. Like, what it's, you know, it's timeless. It occurred after this massive hurricane in 1926. So they had to kind of rebuild it. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to keep up with European styles and architecture and all that. Yeah. And so I believe his name is Carl Fisher. And he's the one who brought, you know, after that hurricane, everything was Art Deco. And it's been that way since.
Right, because they had to rebuild everything from scratch. It wasn't like, oh, one building here. We have other buildings. It was like, all the buildings need to be made. Let's make them all look like Lego blocks.
Yes. That is, that's, it hasn't changed.
It hasn't. It's. I think the number one city with Art Deco. Like, it is so iconically Miami. And it's because of like this horribly devastating hurricane.
Yes.
And they just had to start from scratch.
Yeah.
Well, I was recently in Amsterdam, right? Little Amsterdam. I was visiting my grandfather, and there's a lot of little weird, quirky things about Amsterdam. But I think for me, the kind of the most shocking thing was the amount of bicycles. There's more bicycles in Amsterdam than there are people.
Isn't that Portland?
Portland is the Amsterdam of the United States, famously.
Probably is.
I don't know. I just made that up. Is it Portland?
I don't know.
Too?
I mean, Portland, there's a lot of cyclists.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, in Amsterdam, it's like the streets are, obviously it's an old city. The streets, a car barely fits in it. It feels like a city that is trapped in time and cars should not be there.
No,
it's
not.
Slower to be in a car there than to be in
is
a bike.
It like tiny cars?
Tiny cars. Tiny cars everywhere. And then bikes, and then everyone, and then I met a guy, and he's like, yes, we have a lot of bikes here. And he's and I'm like, how many bikes do you have? And he said, two, my nice bike and the bike I ride to the bars because I like am drunk and sometimes I just hit it or
don't drink and
or
cycle.
I'll lose it. Yeah, don't drink and cycle, baby.
Yeah, I would like to see that, someone really drunk just trying to ride a bike.
I mean, I kind of want to see it, but I also am afraid to
I'm
see
afraid
it. Yeah.
Of what could happen. I mean, it's not as bad as being in a car, of course.
Yeah. Well, you know what's iconically Caracas?
What?
I didn't know what this style of architecture was, but it's like very brutalist architecture, like a lot of cement. And it's the same thing as Miami. There was this, you know, oil boom, I'm assuming. There was a lot of money for infrastructure at a certain time. And that time, brutalist architecture was like what was in style.
What is that, like just very cement-y?
Yeah, like very, very como just functional. It's the opposite of like Rococo, which is like, you know, Italian, overly como que flourished and decorated architecture. It's just like to the point. Just like there's a cement block, you open the door and there is a space.
That is a lot of Miami homes.
Yeah?
And I hate it.
It's new? Yeah, you do hate it. You hate modern, you hate like...
When I drive around LA, what I like about LA is that each house looks very different. You have like those very, we talked about like your preferred, like these very just sanitized boxes.
That sounds like my dream.
And it's just all window.
Oh, I
and
love
just
it.
White, a white rectangle. And then right next door, it looks like Snow White's cottage.
Yeah.
And I'm the Snow White's cottage.
You're the
I
Snow
like,
White's
I love brick. I love... Draw, just kidding. Copper.
Please no. Please no copper. Please no copper.
It never thunders here, actually. So.
Oh, really?
We should actually have copper. It never does. And it's hilarious because when it does thunder, people here freak out. Really? Like everyone will ride the earthquake wave like it's nothing, but then it's thunder and they think like the world is
going to collapse.
They're like, oh my God, thunder, oh my God. And I'm there like, yes! Energize me.
Speaking of Salem.
but I like the diversity and variety of homes, like just driving down a street versus Miami, it all looks the same. Like they have to follow and it's like they're all the same color and they all just have a very similar look. Mm-hmm. And I never liked that. There was no individuality with the home architecture.
Probably it probably has to do with how land is developed. It's just,
well, yeah, it's not, yeah, I'm not a fan.
Not a fan.
No.
Well, I am. I want just no personality building. That's
tile floors.
With tile floors. I'm okay with that. A carpet. What is another thing we could, where should we go next?
Do you know why LA is obsessed with their highways? Because this is the first freeways was here. The 110 was the original freeway in America.
Oh. Okay, so the reason LA is obsessed with freeways is because the first freeway in America was in Los Angeles.
Whoa.
And you know what? The first Dunkin' Donuts was in Boston, and Dunkin' Donuts be everywhere there. So that makes sense to me. This all makes sense. Culture, American culture, freeways and Dunkin' Donuts, baby.
Sounds about right, America.
Oh, and here's another fun fact about LA. The reason LA is so spread out and so flat is because when they were building downtown LA, there are a few tall buildings. People started hating it. They were like, we don't like the fact that this is so como concentrated with people. We're going to make a law that buildings can't be higher than, I think, like 5 stories. So that rule lasted for decades and decades and decades. And in order to accommodate the growth of Los Angeles, they just have to spread the fuck out everywhere. And that's why LA is, I think the saying is like, this is not the number, but like 72 suburbs in search of a city. And it's because there's no place where things, where people could concentrate.
Yeah.
Everything's just like spread out like marbles, just like everywhere.
Do you know why it's actually that spread out?
I mean, other than the building limitations?
Yes.
Please tell me. And also, I'm afraid. I can't wait.
It's because there was a way, a very efficient way to get to all these places with a red trolley. It went everywhere.
Wait, when? Like in the past?
Yes. Clearly. Okay. Yep.
So in the past, there were red trolleys in Los Angeles.
Red trolleys in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And there's even right by us right here, there's like a Chandler bike path.
Uh-huh.
It's like very popular. People go there to run and ride bike. That was a trolley path. So there
was public transportation.
There was. It was great. It was one of the best in the nation. It was the best at one point.
And then what the fuck happened?
A fun conglomerate of gas companies, automobile companies, etc. Just a bunch of greedy motherfuckers got together and dismantled it.
So they just like bought out the public transportation.
Yes.
And filled it up with fucking freeways. Then now get completely overwhelmed with cars and dumb people that don't know how to use a turn signal. Oh God, why? Why?
Actually, people know how to use turn signals here more than Miami, but
really?
Yes. Miami, we don't use turn signals. We
you die.
Trick each other.
Okay.
Yeah.
You just crash. You just like crash for fun.
But it's we literally, that's how, and sometimes I'll pull a Miami here and I won't use a turn signal in order to trick someone and get in the lane.
Oh, that's you trick them.
Because in Miami it's more like, oh, she's trying to get in my lane. I'm going to go faster.
I entendi.
That's how Miami is. It's just so like
aggressive.
Aggressive for no, like, just let them in. I don't understand. Here, people are more than likely to see that you have a turn signal and let you in. Again, not the best drivers in the world, but nothing. I'm sorry. Miami takes the cake.
Wow. Well, that's riveting and not at all frustrating and enraging.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because I have a charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
you know, one of the cities that I've been to that most made me feel confused about where I was is New Orleans. So I when I went to visit, I was living in Boston, which is very puritanical. I mean, that's where the Puritans were. You know what I mean? New England is just so stuck up, which is like very much in contrast to New York. That was like basically like a Dutch colony. And I feel like it's way more liberal because of that. But anyway, New England, Puritans, like all these intensely religious sects. I said sects, not sex, by the way. So then I went religious to New Orleans. Sex. Religious.
I want to know what that is. Anyway, continue.
I don't. So I went to New Orleans and I was like, where am I? Because aesthetically, it feels not like America. It has this very, you know, like French architecture. It's, but then there's also this party atmosphere that is so separate from that puritanical, like ID checking, intensely, like, you know, Boston that I was used to. Everyone was drinking on the street, partying, like everyone was drunk. I was like, what the fuck is this? And I'm like, of course, this city used to be French. Ah. It's New Orleans, Nouveau Orleans.
That explains the...
Yeah, that explains the titties out all the time and the making out and the, you
know. Not to stereotype French people. I just, in general, I've always been told Europeans are just more free with their bodies.
I do think France is very
They're not
liberal.
Weird about nudity like the United States is.
I mean, I think it does have something to do with the fact that I think France always separated, I might be wrong with this, but separated religion from its government. And it's a republic, and they're kind of like anti-religion in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. So going to New Orleans, I was like, this is such a uniquely weird American French party debaucherous place. I loved it. I loved it. Yeah. The cemeteries, you know, it's built like in a basin. That's why it like can flood so much.
Yeah.
The cemeteries, the people aren't buried. They're like put on little pedestals.
Mm-hmm.
They're buried like on top and outside.
Yeah.
And I did like a cemetery tour. I was like, this seems like fun.
I love the gap there. I did like a cemetery. What did you do at this fucking cemetery? I was terrified. Okay. A tour. Okay.
The cemetery tour began with me going through a drive-thru to get a margarita to go. And then we went to cemeteries to look at dead people. Like outside of the ground and just party. It was just,
it sounds
bizarre.
Like the end scene in Haunted Mansion.
What is that Disney?
Yes.
Is that a ride?
Yes.
I did it. I think
this is how different me and Joanna are.
I'm like, I partied in New Orleans and Jenny's like, it's a ride in Disney.
We're in Grinning Ghosts. Come out to socialize.
And I'm like, I went to 3 strip clubs in New Orleans.
So, you know, a lot of cities have their own kind of weather alert systems. Like Miami, it's always about hurricanes or tropical storms or even heavy thunderstorms, right? You get alerted on your phone. LA, it's earthquakes, kind of. Those apps suck. We find out the hard way.
I wonder. Let me check my app. There's an earthquake.
But we'll get back to that because I have something to add to that later. But apparently in New Orleans, they treat parades like it is a natural disaster. So they sent out alerts.
Oh, there's a parade on this street.
Yeah.
Warning.
Like, warning. And this is where you should park. And this is what you need to avoid. And, you know, blah, 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 blah. Like
that sounds useful.
Kind of jealous.
That sounds useful.
That's their warning system.
I mean, because, you know, you plan parades. You don't really plan an earthquake. So I don't really understand what the app is going to tell you that the ground will not.
Unless they happen spontaneously. I don't know. I don't live in New Orleans. I don't know if these parades just kind of like.
Just occur?
Just occur.
I'd like to believe they do. I'd like to personally believe they do.
They just fucking happen.
They just happen.
You know?
I love that.
But I want to add one more thing that I feel like is so uniquely LA.
Uh-huh.
When it comes to...
By the way, I love that we try to talk about other cities and then inevitably we end up talking about LA.
Because LA is so weird.
LA is so weird. The city makes absolutely no fucking sense. Anyway, continue. It's not a city. Anyway. I don't know where I am. I'm in
suburbs looking for a home.
Yeah.
A place to call home. It's a thing called earthquake Twitter. And
I hate it already.
So every time there's an earthquake, you just head straight to Twitter. Everyone's on there. It doesn't matter what time. Recently, about 2 weeks ago, I was woken up by an earthquake, which is rare for me to wake up. And it was like 3 a.m. or 2 a.m. And I went straight to Twitter, and everyone, especially all like the Los Angeles like comedians and shit, they're like all like writing, like, it's like whoever can write the most clever earthquake tweet. Like, I was proud of one of mine. Mine was, earthquake Twitter assemble. And it was so stupid, but it got a bunch of retweets. But that's the only way we really check in with each. Like, no one goes to, and it's earthquake
Jenny,
Twitter.
The way you just described, what, like, you just said the most LA thing. Like, I was like, there was an earthquake, and I got so many retweets. Like, what are you, like, your self-awareness, Jenny?
Listen, you got to laugh in times like that when the ground is shaking for no reason. But it's funny because, again, those apps that we have suck. Like, nothing tells us. And so we usually run to Twitter. I think the average person will go, let me open the earthquake app. Ah, yes, a 4.2 magnitude earthquake near Palm Springs. No, it's, we go to Twitter.
We go to Twitter just to see if we can book a writer's room based off our tweet about the earth shaking in a dangerous way.
Everyone's like, whoa. Like, I mean, some of them are just very basic. Like, did you guys feel that too? Like, we're like, I was taking a shit. Like, everyone's just like talking about like what they were doing in the moment. Everyone's just kind of confirming with each other. Yeah, that was an earthquake. Yes, it was an earthquake. Yep, it was an earthquake. It's just funny to read all the tweets.
I'm trying to think of a New York equivalent, and it's usually just something that is violent. Like, it's never like, oh, like a lightning storm. I literally saw a building get hit by lightning the other day, and I was like, let me check Twitter. No one tweeted about it. No one. Everyone's busy. There's no time. There's no time to all of us connect and bond over one traumatic experience.
No, Angelinos will find a way. It's kind of like Miami with hurricanes. We throw parties.
What do you mean you throw parties?
So there's a disastrous hurricane coming at us, right? Doesn't matter the category. There's a party. There's going to be a party.
What is the theme? Let's survive?
No idea. Jimmy Buffett music playing. I mean, especially in the Keys, people give no fucks. Like, they are out there surfing. They are out there in their boats. They are throwing actual parties at like bars or their houses. And it's funny because, like, every time a hurricane's coming to Florida, I have friends out here who have never experienced a hurricane be like, oh my God, is your family going to be okay? Da, la, 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 la. And I'm like, listen, Florida, people in Florida throw parties during natural disasters.
I'm going to be honest, I can get behind that. I mean, if it's coming your way and there's nothing to do, might as well party. What else are you going to do?
And I obviously, yes, there's devastation. There's always terrible things that happen, but people still party. That's just a thing. I don't think people in New Orleans are partying. I don't think people in Texas, you know, or the Bahamas are throwing a party when an earthquake is coming. It's a Florida thing, especially a South Florida thing. So in LA, we're just telling jokes on Twitter when there's an earthquake. And in Miami, people are just getting lit.
The contrasts and the beauty of different cities bringing out the best part of humanity. You know, I gotta say, starting out in a new city and finding all its quirks is exciting. It's an exciting journey. It's funny. I have to say that as a comedian, you know, my job is to find how bizarre and, you know, specific things in the world are. I think that's what comedy is. And getting out of my comfort zone in New York, where everything just felt normal to me, even though it was absolutely not. I think New York is the least normal place in the world. Coming here as an outsider, because I am an outsider, and pointing out these bizarre things to Los Angelinos, and they're like, oh my God, you're right. Like, my real estate agents here are, I can't believe they're real. Like, every real estate agent I meet is a stereotype, a different one. But they talk to you, like, they're very nice, but they reveal, like, horrific things with a smile. And I'm like, that's so LA. Just being like, oh, yeah. I'm like, this building will fall down, but you know, you get to enjoy life while you're in it. It's like,
look at the view.
Yeah, look at this view. It's $1 million view. Fun fact, we do charge you every time you look out the window. And that's just like a fun little fact about this building. Cameras are installed in every room.
You have to check out Joanna's Instagram. Please do yourselves a favor because you made the most hilarious reel about these real estate agents.
Every real estate agent in LA.
You have to especially follow Joanna now because she's been posting nonstop shit, making fun of LA. Like Joanna will find something.
That's so
like,
true.
You're not doing it. You could like step outside and you'll have something to say about the tree
or the
person. Like, what was it? You went to a tacky tiki bar. And
I was like, I didn't know this. This is another fun fact about LA. Tiki bars are an LA thing.
Yeah.
So Californians would travel to Hawaii. White Californians would travel to Hawaii and be like, oh my God, I love the culture. Let me try and replicate it here in Los Angeles. And it's terrible and tacky. There's screens everywhere. The drinks are too sweet. There's too many men wearing Hawaiian shirts. There's like skulls and fog machines. And people are like, this is LA culture. This is the pinnacle of LA culture. So I had to go to a tiki bar and I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to become an LA native-ish. Did I think it was good? Absolutely not. Probably the worst bar I've ever been in. But there's like a character and a fun to be had going to one of these.
Yeah.
It does feel a little wrong that it's just a bunch of white, like 60-year-old dudes running it and the cups are faces of white guys. It's so weird. But you know what?
Oh, I saw that cup that you posted.
It's a cup. It's a white guy in a Hawaiian shirt. And they're like, this is tiki culture. And I'm like, well, okay. This place is crazy.
Yeah.
This place is crazy.
We have a lot to explore. There's a lot here.
But you know what? I like talking about other places that have weird, crazy things. This isn't the only place.
No.
Let's explore it together.
Mm-hmm. Looking forward to seeing more of your observations.
Oh yeah. I'll be hanging. Also, like one of my favorite things that happened in LA when it was at your house, we were at your house and I was like, oh, it's so quiet here. And you're like, yeah, it's cause I'm right next to an enormous cemetery.
That, by the way, that same cemetery influenced Tim Burton as a kid.
You made it even more LA. I cannot believe you just out-LA'd yourself.
Yes, I did. He lived right by me and he would frequently visit that cemetery.
And that inspired him?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
When he was a kid.
He was a little Jenny.
Yeah, he was a creepy, creepy dude.
Creepy little kid.
He just liked visiting cemeteries and that was the one. That's why it's so quiet.
Oh, wow. Well, there we go. If you want a quiet place in LA, all you got to do is live next to a cemetery. So Jenny, as I am embarking my, my ride here in LA, you've been here for some time.
Yes.
We're going to be doing this podcast in person.
Yes.
Which will be fun. It'll be exciting. We will be doing it with less frequency, correct?
Yes.
We're still figuring out the kinks because we are sort of relaunching this podcast. This is like a new season. Think about it as season two.
Yeah.
We're still trying to figure that out as I try to figure out where the fuck I'm going to live because I don't have a home. But we will keep you guys
informed.
She's
living at the tiki bar.
I'm living at the tiki bar with Paul, Rod, and Tim.
Wow.
The 360-something-year-old bouncers that were there.
And Hawaiian shirts.
They were trying to sell me Girl Scout cookies too. I'm like, this is honestly confusing.
Well, it's Girl Scout season, yes.
But why them?
Why not them?
That's true. Thanks, Jenny. Who's to say who can be a Girl Scout, you know? Let it be them. Let it be them.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Capella University is rethinking higher education. With their game-changing FlexPath format, you can earn your degree on your schedule, so you can fit education seamlessly into your life. Imagine your future differently. acapella.edu.